This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we have the first of a series of stories about grandparents who take on the role of primary caregiver for their grandchildren. To begin the series, health reporter Carol Lofton talks with Professor Megan Dolben-McNabb, a researcher studying grandparent-headed households.
In the United States, the census data tells us that approximately 1 in 10 children in the United States are living in a home with a grandparent, and this translates to approximately 7.8 million children. Of those kids, about 2.5 million or 3% of all children in the U.S. have grandparents or other relatives as their primary caregiver and no other parents living in the home.
So what do we know about these families? Why has there been a spike in skip generation families in recent years?
What we're seeing now in the United States are challenges and stressors facing families that result in grandparents needing to step in and help out grandchildren whose parents can't otherwise take care of them. So one of the big things that's received a lot of attention is substance use, and particularly the opioid epidemic, and how that is resulting in more children needing to enter the foster care system and grandparents coming in to raise those children either through the foster care system or on their own informally. So that's one of the big reasons, but there are other things as well. Parents who have mental health issues, unemployment can be an issue as well, and just the kinds of challenges that families face, incarceration, military deployment, there's really a whole host of reasons.
So let's talk a little bit about this formal and informal grandparents raising grandchildren arrangement. What makes that distinction and why is it important?
Sure. So for grandchildren who are being raised by grandparents informally, what that means is that the grandparent may not be part of the child welfare system or what people often refer to as the foster care system. They may or may not have legal custody or guardianship of that child. Where that becomes an issue is in some states, if you don't have custody or guardianship of the child that you're raising, it's difficult to obtain medical care for them, or it can be difficult to enroll them in school.
How difficult is it for a grandparent to gain formal custody of a child?
So there are several factors that impact the level of difficulty that a grandparent may have in obtaining legal guardianship or custody of a grandchild. Certainly some of it may be financial resources. Pursuing guardianship or custody costs money, requires having an attorney, and for some grandparents, that's really just beyond their means. In other cases, grandparents may be hesitant to pursue custody or guardianship out of fear of maybe bringing their child's issues to the attention of authorities. They may be fearful that their child may be removed from their home, and sometimes they want to avoid conflict. And one of the things I know from my research is that many grandparents are hopeful that the parent will someday be able to return to caring for that child. And so they kind of want to hold off, if you will, in hopes that the parent will be able to resume a parenting role.
How does raising a grandchild impact a grandparent's life?
Raising a grandchild impacts a grandparent's life really in just about every way that you can imagine. For many grandparents, bringing a child into their home has a huge impact on them financially. They may be retired, living on a fixed income, and now all of a sudden they need to pay for clothes and after school activities. And so there's a huge financial impact on grandparents. And we hear stories a lot of grandparents using their retirement savings and other things just to try to make ends meet financially. So there's a big impact in that way. And then the other real big one is parenting. Many grandparents are raising grandchildren who have been exposed to trauma through abuse and neglect, or they may have developmental difficulties perhaps as a result of a parent who abused substances while that child was in utero. And so sometimes grandparents are raising grandchildren who have a variety of special needs, and that can make parenting more challenging. And so grandparents need a lot of support when it comes to how to parent children, particularly when they have a variety of special needs. What we see from the research is that raising grandchildren can have a negative impact on grandparents' mental health. We see higher rates of depression amongst grandparents raising grandchildren in comparison to other populations. But we also see some negative impacts on their health as well. Some grandparents report failing to seek out preventive health services or take care of themselves simply because they're prioritizing their grandchildren. And so there are some concerns about the impact on grandparents that come along with raising grandchildren.
Are there any benefits to grandparents to raising grandchildren?
Absolutely. Grandparents, you know, when they talk about the stressors they experience, what always comes in the next breath is how they would never make a different choice. For many grandparents, raising their grandchildren is very rewarding. It's very meaningful. They know that they're making a contribution to their child's life. I mean, giving that grandchild a chance that they may not have otherwise. They also report how rewarding it is to know that they're providing that grandchild with a sense of stability and safety that they might not have if they were living with their parents. So despite the challenges, many grandparents are highly resilient and really find the experience of raising their grandchildren to be very rewarding.
So we've been talking fairly extensively about the impact on grandparents themselves. What impact does this arrangement have on the kids?
So, excuse me. So for grandchildren, for many grandchildren, one of the issues is trying to come to terms with and understand what's happening in their family. So I've had the opportunity and privilege to interview a number of adolescents being raised by grandparents over the years. And a lot of them will talk about feeling confused, feeling angry about what's happened in their family, but at the same time feeling very grateful and very thankful for the fact that their grandparents have taken them into their homes and are willing to raise them. We know that when kids can't live with their parents, the research suggests very clearly that the best place for them to be is with relatives because it provides them with continuity of those family relationships, for example, with siblings and extended family members. They can stay in their communities. There's that sense of stability that comes with a familiarity. And so having, you know, being able to live with that grandparent can be very beneficial for those grandchildren in terms of their long-term well-being.
That was health reporter Kara Lofton talking with Virginia Tech researcher Megan Dolben McNabb. In a minute, we'll hear the first installment in a series that will continue over the next month or so, exploring the health impacts of grandparents raising grandchildren in West Virginia. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills at 7:51. Some areas of patchy fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny, high temperatures in the 80s, clear skies overnight with lows in the 50s and low 60s, mostly sunny Wednesday with highs in the 80s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Bella, the Corner Gourmet in Lewisburg, featuring wines, cheeses, kitchenwares, West Virginia products, and gift baskets, and more. Information at bellathecornergourmet.com. About 2.5 million children in the U.S. are being raised by grandparents or relatives instead of birth parents. And that number is rising. West Virginia saw a 16% increase from 2000 to 2015. The George family, like many across the state, know the effects of addiction and are working hard to protect the next generation. Kara Lofton visited the family in Jackson County.
In 2014, more than a third of all children removed from their homes because of parental alcohol and drug use were placed with relatives. In many ways, that's good news for kids. Research shows that grand families protect against trauma and promote resilience. But the arrangement can also be incredibly difficult for the grandparents themselves, many of whom are older and dealing with their own challenges, especially when it comes to physical health.
Wait a minute, here comes Kiki, or JoJo, look, you see the bus? Look, see the bus?
Kelly George bounces a toddler on her hip while waiting for two of her grandchildren to get off the bus.
It is hard. The youngest one is Audrey, and she, when she graduates, I guess I'll be 60, 67. And every summer I wonder, can I keep up with them?
Kelly is 55. She says some days are just really exhausting.
But it's worth it. because I don't want them deprived of their childhood because I'm old. Because I'm an old mom, and they call me mom, and it's something that they chose. Hey, lady.
Kelly worked with kids with behavior disorders for 20 years, but retired early when, about 10 years ago, she and her husband got custody of two grandchildren from their daughter, who was a recovering heroin and methamphetamine addict. The girls are now 10 and 13. Their younger sister, age 7, has also been with Kelly since she was born. The toddler Kelly is holding is her son's. He and his wife are also both in recovery, but are doing well. Today, Kelly is simply caring for the baby since the toddler was too sick to go to daycare. At one point, though, Kelly had 5 of her children's children officially and unofficially under her care.
At first, it was pills, of course, Lortabs, snorting. Then it became Oxys and Roxys, and then it became Opanas. And then when they restricted the pills to where they couldn't shoot them anymore or break them down, then that's when heroin went crazy here.
Kelly worries about her ability to keep up with her girls as she ages. She not only cares for the 3 grandchildren, but also her husband, who she says is very good with homework and a great support, but is very ill. He was given 5 years to live in 2005 due to various lung and heart issues. Shirley Nietzsche is a geriatrician. She says most of the grandfamilies she sees are headed up by grandparents in their 50s or 60s like Kelly. But sometimes great-grandparents are the primary caregivers and could be in their 80s or 90s.
Well, they have the medical problems that people their age have, which tends to be not just one, but multiple problems, the most common of which is arthritis. And, of course, the more arthritis you get, the more difficult it's likely to be for you to be able to just literally keep up with a grandchild.
And then she says older adults caring for children don't do as good a job managing their own preventative health care.
Every dime that I have goes on these kids. I mean, obviously, I have a pair of glasses that I need, and I don't have them. These are all scratched up. I can hardly see out of them right now. Audrey has new glasses. And I had to take her to Morgantown for a second opinion. That all came out of my pocket. You just do what you can to the best of your ability.
As hard as it is on the grandparents, pediatrician James Bales says the arrangement can be really beneficial for the kids.
Well, I think if you look at the alternatives, placing a kid in foster care or being in a situation where the parents are, you know, abusing drugs or financially can't support the kids, it's much better for the kids to be in a stable situation with the grandparents. So I see a lot of benefit from it overall, if the grandparents can physically do it.
Do you see grandparents who really can't physically do it?
I do, and I have a few patients who's, you know, we're talking about grandparents who may be, 70s, 80 years old, or great-grandparents even in some situations where, you know, physically they really struggle just to take care of themselves. And so, you know, to throw in an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old that's an active kid that wants to be involved with sports and other activities, makes it very difficult for them.
Kelly agrees. She says when the girls first came to her home, they had problems with anger, eating habits, and anxiety. During a recent visit to the George home, though, the girls happily babbled about their school day, scavenged for snacks, and pet the dogs, like any other children their age would do.
If Josh and Jennifer, or God forbid, my daughter relapses, I'm going to beg somebody in my family to do it, because I just don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it anymore. I don't think I could take on a baby right now.
Kelly says it's not just the physical aspect for her, although that's a big concern, but also the mental toll it takes on her family.
I'm physically exhausted. I'm mentally exhausted.
When asked, how did this happen? How did addiction become such a problem in her family? Kelly didn't have an answer. Like many, she wishes she knew. During a follow-up phone conversation, she said, addiction has no boundaries. If you think you're exempt and your family is exempt, you'll be wrong, because addiction comes from good and bad homes. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
This is the first installment in a series we'll hear over the next month or so, exploring the health impacts of grandparents raising grandchildren in West Virginia. Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, with support from the Charleston Area Medical Center and WVU Medicine. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Kara Lofton. I'm Teresa Wills.